Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
I thank and praise God for this borewell that God has enabled us to put in this village with the prayer and support of Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Radio Ministry. And by the prayer and support of the Pastor Greg Young and the Chosen Generation Ministry, we could put the borewell in this village for the community. Before, this community was drinking dirty water, and that was really causing a lot of sickness. But now they are getting pure and fresh water, and all the communities are so thankful for Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry and all the supporters. And we pray for all of you that God would bless you and God would use you so that we can put more and more borewells in a poor and a needy community, those who are really having a problem of the water. And this is this borewell we have put, and pure and fresh water is coming, and we are so thankful for all of you. Especially we thank to Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry that help us and support us to put the borewell. Thank you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. I've got a great program. Bottom of hour of the next hour, we will be going live in India for another one of our India services in that last half hour. And if you go to the ChosenGenerationRadio.com website and go to the Listen Archive or the Show Archive link, then you can link over to our social media where we continue. At 11 a.m. Eastern, we break off of TECN, so you'll have to follow us on the social media to be able to continue to watch the India service. This past Thursday, we were in a community that had never heard the message of the gospel preached before. They, in their entire history, No one had ever come there and shared the gospel message. We were privileged to have the opportunity to do that. I shared my testimony, and 41 people came to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and we had 29 people that that gave testimony of God doing a miraculous healing. And I'll share a couple of those testimonies with you really quickly, if you don't mind. Let's see. There we go. In one particular instance, there was a woman there who her husband and her children had left her. She was kind of wandering around thinking about committing suicide. And she heard the amplification of my voice and came over towards the meeting right about the time that I began to pray for people. She prayed and asked Christ to come into her heart, and her husband and her children came back to her as she finished praying. In another case, a sister was having eye problems. She hadn't been able to see clearly. She was using a mechanism by which to be able to try to see clearly. She prayed. God gave me a word about people receiving healing to their eyesight that night. And when she went back home and went to go put that apparatus back on, she discovered she didn't need it. God had miraculously healed her, and she was able to see perfectly and see clearly. There were just a number. One 15-year-old girl had been possessed by an evil spirit. She had not been able to attend school for 3 years, and the Lord delivered her on that night. And she is now doing wonderful and in her right mind. And we just give God all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. God is moving, folks. God is moving. And my next guest has been traveling across America preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and seeing God's hand move. We are, you know, Raphael, welcome, first of all, to the program. It's great to have you. Thanks for being here.
Great to be back, Greg.
You know, as we're looking and we're seeing, we see that, you know, the evil, the darkness, we see the arrogance of the enemy, I think, in so many ways. But in the midst of all of that, we also are really seeing, I think, a move of God. And I think we're seeing people waking up and saying, wait, no, we're not gonna go along with the dark agenda.
Well, you know, the Word of God says that where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So, yes, the situation around America is very dark. With the evils that we're seeing today and this garbage about transgenderism, where they're mutilating boys and girls, even without the consent of the parents, it is an abomination before God. But we are seeing the hand of God moving across America. We've seen the first stages of a revival across America. I believe that the return of the Lord is imminent. And the Bible tells me that he is coming for a glorious church. And we don't have a glorious church today. So revival is coming, and I see the beginnings of it.
You know, I'd love for you to kind of speak to that. One of the theme of my program is 1 Peter 2:9-10, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And then it goes on to say, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Can you speak to that for a minute?
Well, what happens is that, you know, unfortunately, in America, we have a very light Christianity. What's happening in places like India is because Christianity is a matter of life and death there. You know, you could be killed for being a Christian, and we have taken Christianity so flippantly in America that people are, number one, it's sad to say that most Christians are Bible illiterate. According to George Barna, only 3% of Christians who go to church once a week have read the Bible once from cover to cover. So they don't know the Bible. And the Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And it is the Spirit of God in you when you are walking by the power of the Holy Spirit that keeps you from evil, keeps you from doing things that you used to do before. And your new nature, that nature that God has given you as a new creation in Christ, blooms as you follow the leadings of the Spirit. And I'll tell you, we need to understand Jesus and the Word are one and the same. John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 14 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." And verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Those three verses tell us that Jesus and the Bible and the Word of God are one and the same. So we need to be in the Word of God so the character of Jesus is manifested in our lives. We need to commune with Jesus through the Word of God. And that needs to become a priority. And unfortunately, in America, too many Christians, their Christianity is reduced to 1 hour a week.
Yeah, it's really sad because we're supposed to be in constant communion with him. The Word says that we're supposed to also pray always and pray without ceasing. And I think that we don't teach people enough about, you know, what does that look like? People think that that means, oh, well, then I'm not going to be doing anything but, you know, getting on my knees and being alone in a room somewhere and what have you. Go ahead.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that because the Lord gave me a great revelation about prayer. I was talking with the Lord one day, and I was talking about prayer, and he said to me, "Well, you know, prayer does not end with the amen." And he says to me, "Prayer starts with the amen, because all the way to the amen is just a monologue, and most people's monologue goes like this: gimme, 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 in the name of Jesus, amen." And the Lord said to me, "After the amen, shut up and let me talk to you." And then the Lord says to me, "Prayer is about five things, five things. Number one, prayer, most importantly, is about communion, intimate communion with God. Prayer should be 99% worship and thanksgiving, entering into his presence, an intimate communion with him. And as a result of that intimate communion with him, number two, God will give you revelation. He will speak to you. He wants to have a conversation with you. So as a result of your communion with him, he'll bring you revelation. And then number three, that revelation will be honed in into direction. Mm-hmm. He will tell you exactly what to do. Number four, he will empower you to do it. And number five is action, and it is get off your knees and go do what he's told you to do. And I'll tell you, those five steps in prayer that he showed me has revolutionized my prayer life.
And it's constant too, Raphael. It's not just on your knees in your prayer closet. Yeah, I mean, Jesus said that I can do nothing except the Father shows me to do it. It, you know, it's just like, and this is, I've said this, folks who listen to the program have heard me say this before. You and I are having a conversation right now. But as we're doing that, both of us have things outside of this conversation that are happening in our lives that we're thinking about and in a different space in our minds, in our thought process. We need to open up one of those thought processes, one of those communication avenues to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit, guide me. Holy Spirit, speak to me as I walk along the path and along the way so that I will speak and I will recognize what you want me to see as I'm living this out, as I'm walking it out. Because the Word of God says that God is working in you, Philippians 2:13. God is working in you to will and to do for his good pleasure.
Well, you know, that brings me to 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18, where verse 16 says, rejoice forevermore. And verse 17 says, pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
And you say, well, how can I pray without ceasing? I got work to do. Prayer is a two-way conversation. Pray without ceasing simply means leave the phone off the hook. Leave the line of communication open with God.
Listen.
After the amen, shut up and start listening to God. And you can do that 24/7.
Amen.
And amen. Then verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And note that it says in everything, not for everything. You don't give thanks for the bad things that happen to you. You don't have an accident and say, oh, God, thank you that I had an accident. No, that's stupid. It doesn't say for everything. It says in everything. In the midst of the accident, you can thank him that his hand of protection was upon you. You don't thank him for the bad things, but you thank him for his presence, his protection, his supernatural care for you, even in the midst of the trouble.
You know, recognizing that every situation, you know, he says, I'll work all things together for good for those that love me who are called according to my purpose. He's still working things out in the midst of whatever the situation or the circumstance. And sometimes, and this is the tough one, but sometimes it's about he's really trying to get our attention. Does he have your, because he's the only one that can get us through. He's it.
Amen. Amen.
He's
amen.
It.
Well, like I said, in America, we have put God on the background. In other countries, like in India and in other countries, it is an all or nothing situation. As a matter of fact, in many countries, including parts of India, being a Christian could cost you your life. And so people, when they commit to Christ, it is a total commitment. It is not just a very flippant thing. So,
right.
So there is a different level of commitment. As a matter of fact, I had a friend that met a pastor from the underground church in China. And this pastor from the underground church in China said to him, we are praying for persecution in America. So you may know Jesus like we know Jesus. We've had it so easy that we have taken it very casually.
Well, we have allowed, you know, we know that people are missing love, and so we share this message of love, but we don't share what Christ's love was about. We don't share that the evil that is beset men, the evil that is destroying lives, is sin and rebellion. That's what's destroying our culture. That's what's destroying our children. That's what's destroying life.
Well, I think one of the reasons that happens is that people have a lot of ignorance about their identity, who you are in Christ. And this is something that I preach a lot about. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away. All things have become new. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 really drives it home, where it says, but he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, to be made sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. At the cross, there was an exchange of robes. Jesus put on our filthy rags, that we may put on his robe of righteousness. And so when we understand our new creation, you see, we've heard all this false teaching about, well, you have two natures. You have the sin nature and the new nature, and the two are warring against another. That is not biblical. No, your old nature died at the cross the moment you came to Christ.
Right.
You have a new creation as righteous as Jesus. And this is so important for us to understand, because I'm sure you've heard the term. I said it for many years until I had a revelation. I am nothing but a sinner saved by grace. That is not biblical. No, you're not a sinner saved by grace. If you're a Christian, you were a sinner saved by grace. Mm-hmm. Now you are the righteousness of God in Christ. This is why Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 8:1, if you look at it in either the King James or the New King James, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In the earliest translations that are being found, the second half of Romans 8:1 is not there. It was copied from the scribes from verse 4 to verse 1. So in the earliest manuscripts, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, period. It is an unconditional promise. And the reason there is no condemnation is that Jesus took all the condemnation. So that changes the cassette. Instead of your saying, I am nothing but a sinner saved by grace, because what that does is make you also always sin conscious. You're always under condemnation. That's not the abundant life that Jesus talked about. No, you change the cassette and you say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You become now righteousness conscious. You're free from condemnation, and you live the fullness of Christ, and you reflect the fullness of Christ. So identity is very important. And the way I explain it is this. Let me tell you why in the Spirit you have to be as righteous as Jesus. If you were not, the Holy Spirit could not commune with you, because the Bible says that the holy cannot commune with the profane. So our Holy Spirit has to, our spirit has to be as righteous as Jesus, so the Holy Spirit could commune with you, could reside in you. So this is why Paul says, walk in the Spirit and you will not satisfy the desires of the flesh. It is impossible to sin in the Spirit. We sin because we allow ourselves to walk in the flesh, in our, not all nature, but in our soul, mind, will, and emotions. And the soul is unredeemed.
Yeah. Well, you know, you look at 1 Corinthians 6:9, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then he goes on and he says, and such were some of you, but you are washed. Yep. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. It is a done thing. It is a finished and a completed work. And, you know, it's one of the reasons, Raphael, we're going to take a break here in just a second. But it's one of the reasons why as I'm finishing leading the people in India in the prayer to make Jesus Christ, the Lord of their lives, I ask them to make the Galatians 2:20 declaration with me.
I'm crucified with Christ.
Yes, absolutely. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And that crucifying was that nature you're talking about. The old man crucified on the cross. And then we are quickened with Christ and given a new nature. So the battle that Paul describes in Romans chapter 7, that which I wish to do, I don't do, and that which I wish not to do, that battle is over. It's done. It's finished. It what we're doing is we're dragging a dead corpse with us because we've been taught a doctrine of the dead. We've been taught this doctrine whereby we're dragging that corpse along. And I liken it to Wendy and Peter Pan's exchange when Peter Pan asks her to sew his shadow back on. We need to stop trying to get our shadow sewed back on. That shadow is dead, gone, and buried. And we'll talk some more about that when we come back. Rafael Cruz is my guest. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio and watching us as well. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with more coming up right after this brief break.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for him World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Okay, so that's not the issue. My special guest is Rafael Cruz, and I'm trying to look up a verse here, and for some reason, I don't know if Bible Hub has gone down or my internet just doesn't want to find it. I'm not sure which one of those two is the issue, but... Oh, maybe it's Google. There we go. All right. So that cleared that for a second. Now let me see if I can get this to work. My apologies, folks. I was trying to work something here on my internet, and for some reason, I can't seem to get her going, Rafael.
Well, that's all right. Maybe the Holy Spirit wants us to go somewhere else.
Maybe so. Yeah, it must be. It must just be that website that. That would not be shocking to me, that Google would be attempting to block me from going to a Bible website. In light of everything, I was going to pull up Colossians chapter 2, because I think it, you know, again, it speaks to what you're talking about how we have. We have truly been transformed. Colossians 2 says that we have been circumcised by non-human hands, that God has cut away that sin nature, that it has been removed from us. And it's so important, I think, for us to recognize that freedom and that liberty that we have in Christ.
And, you know, I was quoting to you during the break, Colossians 1:13, that it says that we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son. When you come to Christ, you're translated from one kingdom to another kingdom. And as I was saying, in that kingdom, Satan has no authority other than the authority that you give him. You can give him the authority, but you don't have to. You can choose to walk under the authority of God Almighty.
Absolutely. And
you can walk in victory. God wants you to walk in victory.
Absolutely. There's no question that he does. You know, I see it in India, but like as I mentioned, that, you know, that young lady who was, you know, had the evil spirit upon her, one of the things that I lead them in is a prayer that asks the Holy Spirit to come in and burn up the demonic on the inside.
It reminds me of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 1, 2, and 3. And, you know, chapter 6 of 2 Chronicles is all about the dedication of the temple. And 7 begins by saying, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. And if we go to Romans 12, it says, I beseech you, therefore, my brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, that's a different sacrifice. That animal that Solomon put on the altar had no choice. It was a dead animal. But God is asking you to be a living sacrifice, and you voluntarily place yourself on the altar and allow the fire of God to come upon you. And that fire has two purposes. One is a fire of cleansing, to burn up all the dross in our lives. But number two is a fire of anointing, You surrender yourself totally to Him and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to anoint you with His power. And He says, and when the sacrifice was burned up, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Well, you're not only the sacrifice, you're also the temple that God wants to fill with His glory. And He says, because the glory of the Lord had filled the temple, verse 3, the people, the priests could not enter the temple, and they fell on their faces and worshiped. And that's the third step. When we realize that the power of God and the fullness of God is on us, our only response is to surrender totally before Him and worship.
Amen. Amen. Well, and you know, and Jesus tells us, He says, these 12 Jesus sent forth, this is Matthew chapter 10, and commanded them, saying, go into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye've received, freely give. And amen. And that's part of the authority. And the Mark 16, when He gives that great commission, again, he talks about, you know, that we have that power, and we need to be remembering, especially now. I don't think you can look at, and you mentioned about, you know, what they're doing to children, the mutilation, you know, whether it's by drugs or whether it's surgical, they're mutilating children. Okay, they have been perverting the minds of children for years by convincing them that they have different attractions. About 10, 15 years ago, the percentage of those that were supposedly engaged and involved in sodomite behavior was under 2% of the population. Some stretched it to 3. Now, and you mentioned George Barna. Barna's research indicates that number is 39% of those ages 18 to 25. 39%.
Total confusion.
It is 100%. But you can't look at that through any other lens than to understand that it is evil and it is darkness.
Amen.
That we are fighting. This is a battle between, and to those that might be listening that are out there that are caught up in this, please know we love you. God loves you, and He wants to set you free from that bondage. And it is bondage. And the voices and all of that are convincing you that have tried to manipulate you into believing that this is who you are or what you want, those are not God's voices. Those are the voices of the enemy of God. Go ahead.
Let me add something to that. You know, they are being told, basically what is at the bottom line of this, they are saying, God made a mistake. You're not really a boy, you're a girl. You're not really a girl, you're a boy. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 says, before you were conceived in your mother's womb, God says, I knew you. God doesn't make mistakes. You were created in the image of God, and you're basically not just putting aside God's creation when you let yourself be deceived by those lies. And you see, we got to realize that the bottom line, the foundation of all this thing about transgenderism is the destruction of the family. God wants to preserve the family, and Satan wants to destroy the family. There's a concerted effort in America to destroy the family because, you know, I believe that communism is just extending its tentacles across America. And communism, number one, needs to destroy the concept of God, and we see an attack against God and against Christianity in particular all across America.
Yep.
And number two, it needs to destroy the family because all allegiances must be to Almighty government. That's why they destroy God, because the allegiance need to be to government, not to God. And again, the allegiance must be to government, not to the family. That's what's behind this thing, is secularism, which just is Satanism, basically.
And well, it's secular humanism. Yeah, secular humanism. It's the same issue that overtook man in the garden. It's man attempting to be God. It's what led to the Tower of Babel, or the attempt to build the Tower of Babel. It was, we can do this on our own. We can take over. We can do things better. We have a better plan, and so on. It's man's effort to become God. And it's one of the reasons why our founders actually rejected a good chunk of John Locke's ideology. Because John Locke's ideology was that in one hand you had man handing you rights, and in the other hand, in the other, you had God handing you rights. Our founders rejected that on the basis that God was not handing anything. God had endowed, and there's a huge difference between him handing something to us and him literally putting it on the inside. And that is what we're talking about when we're talking even about salvation. Salvation is what God does on the inside of you, and he literally changes that internal nature. He takes the old nature out, he puts it on the cross, it dies, and he inserts a new nature. He's not handing it to you, he's literally putting it in you. And that's a huge difference. That's a huge difference. And it's the same thing that happened here. And that's the reason why America has been so difficult for the communists to kill. Because as long as the remnant understands that it is God on the inside who birthed forth a nation to show forth his glory on earth and advance the kingdom of heaven, to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was the foundation upon which the pilgrims debarked. Is that right? That they debarked off of the Mayflower onto the land here in this country. And they said, we have come to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all this other nonsense about, oh, they hated Indians and they... How can you hate when your purpose is to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ? We hate the sin and we hate the demonic spirit that has deceived mankind and wants to kill mankind. We fight to the very last breath against that spirit, and we have authority over it, but we fight for the very lives of those that are caught and trapped and deceived, because we want them to experience freedom in Christ.
By the way, you know, that you mentioned about the Mayflower Compact, you know, America, we need to understand and realize America is a gift of God. America was birthed as a Christian nation, as you mentioned in the Mayflower Compact. It begins by stating their purpose for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. That was the purpose. And by the way, you see the miracles from the very beginning. You know, they landed in Plymouth, Massachusetts. In the beginning of the winter, it was a very harsh winter. About half of them died. And then as spring was coming on, here walks a native by the name of Squanto, speaking perfect English. Now, you talk about a miracle. This man, Squanto, native, speaking perfect English, welcomes them to the land and brings a second native by the name of Samoset, also speaking perfect English, and they help them and they show them how to plant corn, how to survive in this environment. They were city folks. They didn't know how to do that.
Right.
And it was actually, they were embraced by the natives. They had a very common goal. As a matter of fact, they bought their land from the natives and they had a very close relationship for about 50 years. So, you know, what has happened is that history has been rewritten.
And I think it's important to understand, you know, because what's pointed to is, well, yeah, but he was taken and he was put in slavery and he was taken. And yes, all of those things are true. But guess what else? He was introduced to Jesus Christ while he was enslaved. He was introduced to Jesus Christ while he was in England. And when he went back, he recognized in these pilgrims that same Jesus, that same teaching. He recognized it in them. And it's amazing how God used the trials and the tribulations that those two men went through to bring them to that place, because his tribe, if I'm not mistaken, had been completely wiped out.
Yeah, well, that was the case with Squanto, and he had to move to the natives where Somerset was also a member. But both of them got prepared to be able to help the pilgrims. It was all God ordained.
Yes, absolutely. And changed their lives and the lives of the Indians in the process as well, because they also received the message of the gospel, and they watched that lived out.
Amen, amen, amen. And so we need to honor our, you know, our heritage. It is a total lie that America was not birthed as a Christian country. At the time of the framers, 99% of Americans were Christians. There was a half of 1% that was Jewish. It was a Christian nation.
Yep.
And these were men of God, all of them. I mean, the biggest lie in the world is to think that, you know, you hear that Jefferson was a deist and that Franklin was a deist. That's a lie.
Yep.
Did you know that Jefferson was the one that started church services in the Capitol? He did that as vice president, and he attended those services as vice president. And as president for 8 years, he rode his horse every Sunday from the White House to the Capitol to attend those services.
And I think there were six different churches at one time that were meeting on Capitol grounds.
And they met for 50 years.
Yeah.
They only stopped when they started building their own buildings. And
I was talking to a friend of mine about Benjamin Franklin's biography that he wrote, by the way. And in the first couple of chapters, or first few pages, actually, he said that when he was probably 5 or 6 years old, he perceived himself to be a deist. Now, this as a child, okay?
But this only lasted a couple of years.
Well, that's my point. And then he professed, but then he realized, no, I am a Christian. I am a follower of Christ. And he presented himself as a Christian. My point is that those that point to that, and it's the same thing that, you know, it's funny because there's a mirror to this, right? They say that 5 and 6 year olds today should be deciding what gender they want to be. Think about it, right? 5 and 6 year olds today should be making life-changing decisions about their future. Well, it's the same thing. They say that Franklin, who was a 5 or 6 year old, who said, I think I might be a deist, and he's just simply reflecting that as a child he thought childish things, but when he became a man, he realized, no, I am a Christian, and
as
Christ is my Lord.
You know, something very interesting, there's an exchange that most people don't know about. When the Constitution was being written, after 4 weeks, it was falling apart. The delegates were at each other's necks. It looked like the whole thing was falling apart. It was none other than Benjamin Franklin that addressed the president of the convention, George Washington, and said, "Sir, how is it that we have not once called upon the Father of Lights to illuminate our understanding?" This is Franklin talking to Washington. He said, "Sir, Have you forgotten how, when we first started our struggle against Great Britain, how we met in this very chamber every morning for prayer, seeking his wisdom and protection? Sir, those prayers were heard and they were graciously answered. Yeah. Or do we believe that we no longer need his assistance? Sir, as the Holy Scripture tells us, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. That's not the statement of a deist. And then he says, and if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire could be built without his aid? Sir, if we proceed to build this endeavor without his concurring aid, we will fare no better than the builders of Babel. And he concluded by saying, I beseech you, therefore, that from now henceforth, before we proceed to our deliberations, we every morning get on our knees in prayer, seeking his wisdom and direction. This happened on a Saturday. They retreated for the weekend under the leadership of John Witherspoon, a pastor and one of the signers, for a time of prayer and fasting. They came back in a different mood, on their knees every morning, seeking God's direction in total harmony. And 7 weeks later, they gave us the greatest document that has ever been written in history outside of the Bible, the Constitution of the United States of America.
Hear.
We are going to celebrate this year 237 years of the Constitution.
Yep.
And yep. You know something? I believe that the Constitution is a divinely inspired document because it was forged on the knees of the framers. The framers were on their knees seeking revelation from God, and revelation is what they got.
And you know, there's two nations, I believe, that God, ordained in such a way for 6,000 years of human history. The first, of course, is Israel.
Amen.
He chose Israel, and for those that think that has somehow fallen to the wayside, you are sadly mistaken.
Absolutely.
God chose Israel, and he chose the Jewish people. But the second one was the United States of America, and as you so eloquently said, 99.9%. The first 13 colonies, each colony was really the separation point, was some denominational differences, but not that brought about bloodshed, but that simply brought about their own understandings of particular emphasis, such as baptism or methodology, the way in which they went about worshiping God. But what unified them, what brought them together, was the clear understanding that it was man's sin that separated us from God, and that it was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ which was the only way to resolve that issue, and that salvation and confession of Jesus Christ as Lord should be a requirement for those that desired to be in leadership. And that was the case in every single one of those colonies.
That's right. That's right. Isn't it amazing? Being a follower of Jesus Christ was a requirement to run for public office.
And the reason why, and folks, please understand, see, there's pragmatism in every part of this, because they understood that those that truly, in those days, if you made that confession, it meant that you had read through the scriptures. It meant that you did understand justification and sanctification and a changed and transformed life. And it meant that you understood that the decisions that you made as a public servant would not just fall to the judgment of your constituents or even of those in your sphere of influence, but to the greatest influencer of all, to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that one day you would face God's judgment for the decisions that you made on behalf of those people. And the people understood that it was going to be in the places where the people weren't watching, in the places where no one could see, that unless someone had those kinds of convictions and that kind of understanding, they could not hold the line. And that's why they chose Christians who were professed and who had walked it out in community as their leaders.
And that's why both the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution are really focused, and they are founded primarily on the Word of God, on the principles of the Word of God. That's why they have lasted for so long. You know, the average lifespan of a constitution around the world is only 17 years. Ours has lasted 20 times no longer. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it was birthed by God.
Amen. Amen. And again, going back to, you know, what we said earlier, you know, rights endowed, not handed to, but literally a part of who. And that is why John Adams and all of our founders said, look, the only way this will work is with a moral people.
Yeah.
It's not fit.
John Adams said the Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. And when the framers talk about religion, they were talking about Christianity.
Here,
because
here.
They were all Christians.
Yep. And the sad part is that now, because of the lie that's been believed about separation of church and state and so on, Christianity and religious convictions have been given a second-class citizen stamp and have been viewed now as, oh, those are just social issues. Ladies and gentlemen, every single aspect of every single policy decision that is made has a basis, and we should be looking to God's word to decide what's right and what's wrong with every single policy, because the word of God has something to say about every single one of those areas of influence, every one of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, America was built on the word of God, and if you look at the Constitution, you look at our laws, everything came from the word of God.
Yep. And it's the only reason that our country has lasted this long, and it's what gave our country a seat at the world table. When you stop and think about it, I remember going over years ago, I may end up closing with this, but I remember going in 1998, a friend of mine was with Youth with a Mission and was getting married, and I was doing a business, and I was able to do domestic and international. So I went over there and landed an international client, went to Europe, and then I was in his wedding. And I remember being in Germany and looking around and sitting inside of a castle that was probably 1,200 years old, okay, and thinking about how young America was compared to Europe. And then what the Lord impressed upon me is how does a nation that's that young get a seat at the table with all of these elders? I'll tell you how. Because it's founded and called and ordained by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's how.
Amen.
That's how.
Amen.
By no other means, by no other way. And the Word of God says that. The Word says that you will be called to speak before kings and rulers. You'll speak
Amen.
Before kings and rulers. And America's influence around the world has generally been for good. Unfortunately, we have had some real tyrants, and that's why we the people have to stand up and put Christ back at the center and at the foundation of this country once again. And that goes back to, and I'll close with this, that's why we call the pastors. That's why we're saying, pastors, you have got to get on your knees, ask God to forgive the things that you've done that are against his word, and get back in the pulpit and start preaching the true foundation of the word of God. Raphael, thank you for all that you're doing to preach that and to go around the country and share the truth of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well, it is a pleasure to be with you again, Greg, and God bless you. And I will join your group next week at the same time, I guess. Blessings to everyone.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Veronica Kirilenko will be with us. We're going to talk about what's happening in Russia. Big news, the Wagner guy is back in Russia. What does that mean? We'll be back with that right after this brief break.